Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Mahomet Citizen, dated for the week of September 17th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this headline article. It's under the banner of Lincoln Trails Special Persons Day. The headline reads, Guests of Honor. Family and friends get to see what kids are doing in school. With a sweet, gentle question, Grandma, would you come to my special person's luncheon? From her grandson, Tristan Adams, 8, Terry Adams knew she had to make the 2-hour drive from the south suburbs of Chicago to attend the Lincoln Trail Elementary School event. He told me the address and said it starts at 11 o'clock, Terry Adams said. I said I would be honored to attend. The drive in last Friday's steady rainfall was well worth the hassle for Terry Adams, who was able to enjoy lunch alongside her grandson and visit his classroom. These memories are for the kids, Terry Adams said. It's a whole lot of love in the room. It's something that he's going to always remember as he gets older. I hope he remembers my grandma drove down from Chicago in the rain just to spend time with me. Lincoln Trail opened its doors to more than 500 relatives and friends of the 3rd through 5th grade students on Friday over the hour-and-a-half lunch periods. Jerry and Kay Townsend sat alongside grandson Jake Sampson, 10, in the lunchroom, as they have done with all three of their grandchildren over the years. This is probably our last Grandparents' Day, Kay Townsend said. Jake is now in 5th grade, so this is our last one with him. The Townsends cherished each and every special person's day spent with their grandchildren. This is probably the only opportunity that we've gotten to come to school because when they have open houses, that's more for the parents to discuss the curriculum, Kay Townsend said. I guess for me, this is the only opportunity to get in the classroom and see what your kids are doing and what they're learning. Kay Townsend couldn't help but point out the differences from her grade school experience than that of her grandson's. I went to a one-room schoolhouse, so this is really different to me, she said. She attended 2 one-room schoolhouses in Belvedere, Reed's Crossing School, which housed 1st through 4th grades, and Davis School, where she attended 5th and 6th grades. The next year, they consolidated, and we went into town, and they built a new school, and everybody went into town. Kay Townsend's 30 classmates at Reed's Crossing seemed a different world entirely compared to grandson Jake's hundreds enrolled at Lincoln Trail. I was telling him this is a lot different, Kay Townsend said. We didn't have computers. We didn't have all those fancy boards and all that stuff. But more than discussions over the differences in their school days, the Townsends relished the priceless one-on-one time with each of their grandchildren over the years. This is probably the only time we see them, Kay Townsend said. The kids are so busy. They're in so many activities, and their parents are in so many activities, she added. We just don't see them so much, so this is just an opportunity for us to see him, Jake, to see what he's doing and who his friends are and what he's doing in school. Down the hall from the lunchroom, 9-year-old Kinsey Collar was eager to show her grandma, Susan Collar, her classroom as she led her through the hallways. I like her here, Kinsey said. She's my favorite. Susan Collar said she was happy to have the day off so that she could visit with Kinsey, as she had done previously with her grandson. It's a good thing just because you don't get a chance to see them or do stuff like this, Susan Collar said. It's a good chance to come and see how they're doing in school and see if all the rumors are true, she added jokingly. During the visit, Kinsey's class discussed how the learning environment has changed since the visitor's school days. I said, computers, Susan Collar commented. She, Kinsey, was like, really? Well, did you have dry erase boards? And I was like, I don't think we even had dry erase boards. We just had chalkboards. It seems different. We had individual desks when I went to school instead of tables. Krista Britton stopped by to see three of her grandchildren, Chase and Todd, 8, Jaylen Todd, 10, and Alexis Brown, 10. I come every year whichever school we're at, Britton said. I like it a lot. This is one of my favorite days. Britton often has her grandchildren stay the night at her house as she has them over to do fun crafts. But Special Persons Day is just one more way for her to visit and support her grandchildren. It brings the community closer because the grandparents, aunts, and uncles, they get to see so much of what the kids are doing in the classroom, she said. It's a great bonding experience. I think it's a really great thing for them to do. Emily Wegsren was also thankful for the opportunity to visit son Caden Abercrombie's classroom. He's 8. I didn't want to miss it, she said. The first thing he did was give me a tour of the room. He showed me all of the different stations, the books in the back, which laptop was his, and of course his teacher's desk. The event was just one more way for Wegsren to connect with her son and see his daily routine. I work all day. He's at school all day. We have a couple of hours together at night for dinner and homework and baths, so this is another opportunity to see the daytime Caden and his life, she said. Principal Jeff Starwalt said Special Persons Day initially began as Grandparents' Day, but in recent years his staff realized not every child had grandparents, so they changed the event title so as not to limit attendees. It's one of the best things we do every year, Starwalt said, and the kids and the guests love it too. The event begins with guests visiting the children's classrooms 30 minutes prior to the lunch period. Activities range from students assembling biographies about their special person, holding discussions about the differences between the attendees and the students' school experiences, and much more. It helps them realize that they have other people in their lives that are supportive of what they do inside and outside of school, Starwalt said. Though Friday's weather could have been a deterrent for attendees, Starwalt said he was happy to see hundreds filling the nearby church parking lots and lining the streets of the 102 East State Street School. It's one of the best feel-good activities that we have every year, he said. Hopefully the weather cooperates next year because it's even nicer when we can be outside. But everyone still enjoyed it and was really flexible. We made it work. Next from our front page is this article. It's under the banner of Newtown Town Business. And the headline reads, Pouring His Heart Into It, Owner Realizing Dream of Having His Own Store Selling Adult Beverages. Mahomet will soon tack on one more reason to visit its growing downtown business community with the addition of AJ's Wine and Spirits this month. Owner Jay Patel hopes to open his specialty liquor store at 604 East Main Street, Suite A, by September 20th. Patel hopes to offer community members those specialty craft beers, premium bourbons, scotches and wines, and even cheeses and cigars that they just can't find in local grocery stores or gas stations. I'm going to offer the lowest prices I can and offer a better quality product, Patel said. It'll be more craft beers, IPAs, and even mix and match programs. The mix and match program will offer craft beer fanatics a chance to try multiple products by purchasing a variety of single 12-ounce beers rather than an entire six-pack of one flavor. For newer beers, most people are like, I don't want to buy a whole six-pack. But they may want to buy one bottle or two bottles, and if they like it, or even if they don't like it, then they can go from there, he said. It's so different. People can try all different kinds of beers. Patel, a native of Andhad, India, got his start in the liquor industry in Chicago 14 years ago after ending his pharmacy studies in India. I just thought, this is going to cost me a lot of money and time, Patel said. He saw the liquor industry as an exciting career opportunity. He made his mark in northeastern Illinois by consistently providing products customers wanted to see on the shelves. The guy I used to work for, he used to have a lot of stores, and I used to go in and I would ask the customers questions about what they wanted and what other options they'd like, Patel said. That's where I started my journey. But from the very beginning, Patel had the desire to acquire a store of his very own. So Patel left the bustling Windy City to make a better life along the countryside of East Central Illinois, where he worked at a liquor store in Champaign until he decided it was time to make his dream a reality. From the beginning, I wanted to have my own store because I'm a very hard-working guy, Patel said. I'm excited to have a place of my own now. Patel hopes to line the front of his store with local favorites such as craft beer from J.T. Walker's, the Blind Pig, Distill, and many more Champaign County beers. I want the first thing people see when they walk in is local beer, Patel said. The next thing will be the mix-and-match beers. He also looks forward to providing yet another reason to stop by downtown Mahomet with wine samples on Saturdays 1 to 2 times a month. It all depends on if the city officials allow me to do it, he said. But if they allow me to do it, then I will do it. People can enjoy the different wine samples, and we'll just keep it going from there. The owner is tirelessly working with his crew to get last-minute preparations underway and open his store. Patel looks forward to celebrating the grand opening of AJ's Wine and Spirits alongside the Mahomet Area Chamber of Commerce on October 5th. I'm hoping for good community support, Patel said. I just want to keep it going. Also on the front page, we have this article headlined, Carpenter Says His Work is a Cut Above the Rest. Mahomet Man Takes Pride in Creating Special Pieces for Area Residents. Mahomet's Robert Clapper had no idea when he began working in carpentry that it would one day turn into a viable career. I was poor and had inadvertently learned a trade, Clapper said. The 1970 Mahomet Seymour High School graduate studied at Parkland College and eventually the University of Illinois, though never earning a degree, while working as a carpenter before completely leaving the life of academia for his trade. I've been building kitchen cabinetry and furniture for almost 40 years, Clapper said. I did some carpenter work in college and met some guys that were cabinet makers, and I kind of caught the bug, he joked. Clapper's college studies of ceramics and sculpture allowed the 66-year-old to hone his craft over the years and develop a knack for custom furniture making alongside his cabinet making for kitchen remodeling projects. I met some guys who were doing carpenter work and actually making modelings or cabinetry or furniture. That's much finer work, and that appealed to me because of the sculptural aspect, Clapper said. Clapper often appeals to clients who long to have a piece of furniture that is more of a talking piece and tends to stray from the box store offerings. Unfortunately, a lot of people shop price and not quality, Clapper said. My clients need to be in need of something they just can't find ready-made, or they have a sensibility about the material or the workmanship that leads to a higher end, and they're willing to pay for that. His custom furniture portfolio includes coffee tables, desks, shelves, tables, and much more. I've got a really cool piece of redwood here that I think is going to become a coffee table, Clapper said, while dusting off the wood shavings from the piece in his shop. But who knows, he added. A typical day for the carpenter is digging into whatever project I happen to be involved with, he said. He averages anywhere from a week to a couple of weeks on a custom piece of furniture, with 4 or more weeks for kitchen remodeling. It varies from project to project, he said. I'm only one person. Clapper wasn't always his own boss. He also worked for Mercy Hospital before it merged with Burnham City Hospital, now OSF Healthcare Heart of Mary Medical Center, as a construction supervisor. I got involved in in-house construction remodeling in whatever department they wanted done, he said, but after a few years of that, I was kind of burned out on that and went back to work for myself. I don't know if that was the smartest thing to do, but it was the most satisfying. A few of Clapper's favorite projects over the years include a 17-foot by 11-foot wide cross placed behind the altar of the Lutheran Church of Mahomet when the new worship center opened. It's an unusual piece, he said. It was scary hanging it on the wall because we had to be up on a high man lift and stick it. Other unique creations include a liturgical piece of furniture near the altar of the Sisters of the previous Mercy Hospital's residence. Currently, Clapper is working on creating a piano bench compatible with a client's piano. You can't buy that out of a catalog, Clapper joked. With overseeing every aspect of a piece of furniture from start to finish, Clapper admits sometimes it is hard for him to overturn the creation as it is so near and dear to his heart. It's kind of like a child, he said. You spend a lot of time and put a lot of sweat and blood into it, and then somebody gets to have it, he said. He added. Sometimes I'm really reluctant to turn loose of something I've worked really hard on and that I'm really proud of, but someone else is going to enjoy it, and it's still out there. But nothing brings him greater sense of pride than when he walks into a client's home seeing the finished work on full display. I've done some work for my son-in-laws, so when I see them or visit them, my stuff is there on the wall, and that feels good, he said. It's nice to get introduced at someone's dinner party, and they'll say, "Yeah, Bob built that." That's nice. Clapper welcomes individuals looking for a piece they just can't seem to find in the store to visit robertclapper.com or call 217-762-7996. He anticipates continuing to fill Muhammad area homes with creations. I guess that's my legacy to Muhammad, Clapper said. Our next article is under the banner of Upper Sangamon River Conservancy, and the headline reads, Saturday events needing some muscle. Typically this time of year, rivers are at their lowest, which isn't so great for float trips, but perfect if you want to dig into the riverbed in search of mussels or find whatever treasures spring floods washed into our beautiful waterways here in central Illinois. But the plentiful precipitation dropped by Tropical Storm Gordon forced the Upper Sangamon River Conservancy to push its mussel survey from last weekend to this coming Saturday, the same day as the nonprofit's group already scheduled river cleanup. Conservancy members know they, along with a strong showing of volunteers, can pull off both. Last year, USRC had a great turnout of volunteers for both, 61 volunteers, individuals as well as groups, including the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, and University of Illinois Wildlife Center. The Lutheran Center on campus and Master Naturalists found more than 1,000 freshwater mussels. There are various volunteer roles, searching for mussels, sorting, identifying, photographing, and counting mussels, and returning all live mussels to the stream channel. For those who don't want to get wet or muddy, bank duties are available too. Mary Steck, a USRC member, said last year's river cleanup resulted in 2 dry tons of debris getting cleared from the river and its banks. She said that included 25 trees, almost eclipsing the record of 26 in 2012. Despite the trash, the Upper Sangamon is home to a good variety of freshwater mussels, often called the livers of the rivers because they're constantly filtering our streams, removing detritus and plankton for food and absorbing pollutants in their tissues, according to experts from the Illinois Natural History Survey. Steck also said volunteering is a good excuse to get in the river and play in the mud. Just the names of mussels from last year's survey sound fun, like monkey face, Wabash pig toe, creeper, fat mucket, and three-horned wartyback. Both events begin at 9 a.m. Saturday and are scheduled to last until 3 p.m., with lunch provided for all volunteers who meet at the Museum of the Grand Prairie parking lot at Lake of the Woods Muhammad by 8:45. No experience is necessary for either event. Instructions and supplies will be provided. For the cleanup, you can bring your own canoe, or ones will be provided, but you must register in advance so organizers can get enough canoes for everyone. Survey volunteers are also asked to register so organizers have enough food. For more information about either event or to register, go to sangamonriver.org. You can also get information on the USRC Facebook page as well. Turning now to page A5 under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Carolyn Margaret Rex wrote, Dodd, 80, of Homer, died on Wednesday, September 5, 2018, at OSF Healthcare Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. We're at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 15th at Kirby Funeral Home, 708 South Main Street in Homer, with the Reverend Leah Grayer officiating. Burial was in GAR Cemetery in Homer. Visitation was from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, September 14th at the funeral home. Services were followed by the luncheon at the United Methodist Church, 301 South Main Street in Homer. All family and friends were invited to attend this celebration of Carolyn's life. Sandra J. Sandy Goyne, 57, of Gibson City, passed away at 8:48 p.m. Wednesday, September 5, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life service was at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 15, 2018, at First Christian Church in Gibson City, with the Reverend Ed Taylor officiating. Visitation was from 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City assisted the family with arrangements. Interment will be held at a later date. Memorials may be directed to the family. Dan Lifesay, 86, of Savoy, formerly of Decatur and DeCoin, died at 2:49 a.m. Saturday, September 8, 2018, at home. Funeral services for the Navy veteran will be at 11 a.m. Friday at Morgan Memorial Home, 1304 Regency Drive West in Savoy. Burial will be in Riverside Cemetery at Mahomet. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at the funeral home. April Marie Vaughn of Seymour passed away at 6:24 a.m. Monday, September 3, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. There will be a private family service held at a later date. Condolences may be offered at RennerWyckoffChapel.com. And now, returning to the news, under the banner of Upper Sangamon River Conservancy, we have this article entitled, Group Gets 501c3 Status. The Upper Sangamon River Conservancy obtained a 501c3 status as of August 6th. A 501c3 organization consists of corporations, trusts, unincorporated associations, or other types of organizations that are exempt from U.S. federal income tax. 501c3 tax exemptions aid entities that are exclusively for charitable, scientific, or educational purposes. The USRC was established in spring 2009, and it grew out of a grassroots effort by community members who were concerned about the Sangamon River. Its purpose is to preserve, maintain, monitor, and promote public use and awareness of the Sangamon River. The USRC is 100% donor and volunteer-driven. USRC events in the community include river cleanups and highway cleanups, a river watch which monitors the health of the river through collection of invertebrates, mussel surveys which maintain the historic Hazen Bridge, and float trips. USRC hopes that a grant will allow it to develop the Lincoln Heritage Water Trail, working with the Sangamon River Alliance to promote Sangamon watershed education, conservation, and recreation. For more information about USRC, visit sangamonriver.org. Our next article is under the banner of Museum of the Grand Prairie, and the headline reads, Stepping Back in Time, Participants Take Part in 19th Century Activities. Rainfall couldn't keep Muhammad's Linda Erdley from checking out the Museum of the Grand Prairie's Prairie Stories event with her two grandchildren, Caden, 8, and Libby, 6, Johnson, on Saturday. We just love it out here, Erdley said. It's kind of my thing with the grandkids. The museum brought 19th century East Central Illinois to life over the weekend with activities such as basket weaving, blacksmithing, butter churning, candle dipping, pottery making, and much more. This is an annual event that we've done for over a decade at least, and the whole idea of the event is to help bring the 19th century to life by bringing some engaging activities to visitors, said Patrick Kane, public program/visitor services coordinator for the museum. Eardley's grandchildren enjoyed listening to the Civil War soldiers the most. They were just down there for about 20 minutes chatting with those guys, she said. They loved it. Caden and Libby Johnson also enjoyed molding clay with the help of pottery volunteer Connie Dodson of Champaign. Dodson, who belongs to the Champaign-Urbana Potters Club, taught visitors the uniqueness of molding pottery by hand under a potter's wheel. I like the sculptural aspect of doing things by hand, Dodson said. If you make mistakes, those mistakes end up being something beautiful. Dodson was introduced to pottery while attending college. She always enjoyed collecting pottery, but after moving from Joplin, Missouri to Champaign, she was inspired to pick it back up and continue her learning. It's just one of those things I enjoy, Dodson said. There's just something about the feel of clay. I can start a project, and the next thing I know, it's 5 hours later, and I'm like, oh my gosh. The Champaign-Urbana Potters Club typically makes the trek out to Mahomet for prairie stories, but it's something Dodson never tires of teaching to younger generations. I love it, she added. I love the opportunity to introduce this to them. It's a whole other art. Anybody can do this. I love teaching kids about it. We love every opportunity to talk about this. Matthew Dobsch of Champaign enjoyed English country dancing alongside his three children, Lily, 9, Jace, 7, and Hannah, 5, to the tunes and instructions from the Central Illinois English Country Dancers. Dance moves included square dance moves such as do-si-dos, two-hand turns, trading places with partners, and partners running up the middle of the line formation. They do a great job, and it's cool to interact with people who you didn't know coming into the event. You're face-to-face with your neighbor, Kane said. And it's not too difficult for some of us who have two left feet. It was fun, Matthew Dobsch added. I'm just excited to see them, his children, doing something different and expanding their horizons. They're not sitting at home watching TV. They're getting out and doing some neat stuff. Dobsch's kiddos' favorite activities included the basket weaving, blacksmithing, and pottery making. It was great, he added. It's a rainy day outside, and it sounded like the perfect opportunity. I was really impressed with those ladies sitting in the rooms making yarn, doing their crafts. It's their hobby, and they love it, and I just like seeing them engage with people. It's pretty cool. 9-year-old Wendy Engelhardt from Champaign. Favorite part of the afternoon was the candle dipping. You have to dip the candle in really quick and then pull it right back out, she said of the process. Wendy's father, James Engelhardt, said activities such as prairie stories allow his daughter to explore and experience history firsthand. Wendy was talking about Laurel Ingalls Wilder, and to get a sense of what goes into some of these tasks, like churning butter or candle making, it gives you a perspective that you just can't get from a book, TV show, or movie, James Engelhardt said. Kane said more than 180 people visited the museum for the 19th century festivities. The event requires the efforts of approximately 30 volunteers. Coordination for next year's September 14th Prairie Stories has already begun. More than anything, Kane hopes museum events such as Prairie Stories encourage people to engage in their history. That's the whole goal of these events, Kane said. It's bringing history to light and letting people of all ages and from various backgrounds connect with their history, especially local history. This has been the Mahomet Citizen for the week of September 17th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.